It is 7:23, back with Rich and Ryan in the morning. We are now joined by City Administrator Ben Martig. Good morning, Mr. Martig. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you. So, well, we had a, I think I would call this an atypical work session last night. It wasn't in council chambers. It was really, there was just one topic, and it was a presentation on leadership skills. Is that right?
You got a pretty good there.
Well, good.
Summary. That's good. So, yeah, we moved upstairs from the city hall to our training room, and it's a little more, it gives us more ability to kind of create more of a working type of a session. Mm-hmm. So like on this case, we're kind of really a meeting about kind of interactive work that they're doing, where we had a facilitator, Craig Rapp, who's helping us with our strategic plan. This is kind of nestled in with that, as well as having a new council with some three new members on our city council. It's a little bit of how do we work together as a team effectively? What's kind of a group decision-making processes that work? Where are there red flags where you maybe see things starting to break down and recognizing that? And so it's really kind of building some foundational things, both with leading into the strategic plan where they're going to be working together on some really big decisions on priorities for the next probably 3 to 4 years for the city, with some adjustments in between and along the way as we work on that. And then also just kind of getting them to continue to familiarize themselves with the new team that's working together, and how to work through some of those difficult work that, you know, democratic boards have to work on to come to decisions.
Right. I guess I was under the impression that this was like one of those meetings with all the department heads and all that stuff. This was just the council then.
Yeah, actually, yeah, a good point. Oh. It was different in that way as well. We had a more extended team of our staff that were there, kind of department directors, some of the members who sit on kind of a senior management team, people like our IT manager who might cross over multiple departments, a lot of issues with cybersecurity and having tools to do the work. Yeah, so staff was integrated with it because that to be effective together, part of the discussion also was about roles and responsibilities. Yeah. We do a lot of that on initial orientation with our council members. You know, the counselors have certain legal structures, our city charter, our city ordinances, our policies, state statutes to kind of guide what you can and can't do. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, though, that transitions where sometimes you work in an environment where there's a little more gray, where the rules might not be clear. Mm-hmm. And so that's where you got to work through, like, okay, how are we going to work through in these areas? You might have norms and processes that sometimes are unwritten. So staff are there because the council really is there to set the direction of the city, generally working on city policy. What do we want to accomplish kind of on the ends, focused on results and priorities and connecting to their constituency that they were elected to serve. Giving that clear guidance to staff, primarily through a strategic plan and then other legislative decisions they make, because they act as a body. That's their authority, really, is in that council chambers. And then they direct me as their primary staff person. I'm kind of the chief administrative officer then to work with staff to implement those end goals and means and the amount of money that the council feels they have available to deliver the services that the public wants. And so they're, I think of the, you know, Craig talked about this last night too, is like realize that in, this is also kind of setting the stage, like what kind of business are we in, realizing that if you look at our, you know, $50 million, if you look at all our total budget of all of our funds is $50 million. You have streets, I think it's like almost 80 miles of streets that we maintain, I think 50 plus miles of sidewalks. We have complex water systems, treating of wastewater, $42 million in assets that we have, 8 buildings. So this is a big organization, and we're a municipal corporation. We're here to kind of serve the people who choose to live and own property here. And ultimately, we got to take care of those assets to realize kind of the stakes that are involved in that. And then a little bit unique, they're kind of like a holding company if you're like in the business world, where we have all these different individual business units kind of within it. So we kind of have a department that does wastewater treatment. We have a department that does water. We have a police department that's very specific on what they do, a library. Those are very different types of, in effect, kind of businesses that we're operating individually to serve the public. And there's also a lot of like public participation involved that kind of gets intermixed with that. So that staff's working on that level. So if you're really, if we're going to work together and really hum as a city and be successful in the work that we do, particularly when you're going to have differing opinions about things like the vision and how to, where they want to go. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, though, we need to roll up our sleeves, work together, and then staff needs to be closely connected with those goals and directions so that we can take that direction from the council and move forward. So that's part of it. And that's why, too, the location issue is, you know, you kind of want to be in a different setting for something like that as well. We do this sometimes for the kickoff of budget meetings, and it's just to get your mindset a little bit shifted on working on things.
I was just going to say, I don't want to downplay this. This is really important training for not just the council, but for staff. I mean, it's team building is something that we all sort of have to work on, isn't it?
That's right. You mentioned the importance of that, too, and kind of working together. I was thinking of, like, what's happening at the state legislature. Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I would argue that right now, as a public body that's it's going to have to go through a deliberative process when they get together, put together a budget, kind of, you know, it's a very divided, obviously, politically between at least the two major parties that we have. But one of the things Craig talked about last night, too, is the difference between tough politics and dysfunctional organization in the democratic realm. I would argue what's happening at the legislature right now hasn't reached the level of dysfunction. What they're doing right now is this deliberative body has rules to go through and processes, but there have been some really unusual things that have happened that the law isn't particularly clear on how to interpret some of those things, on timing of leadership decisions in an election where it was split and then it shifted to one. So I believe that both parties have compelled, you know, have legal and justified arguments about kind of where they're at in the House of Representatives, where they're kind of split and trying to figure things out. I would argue, though, that we would be better off that the law not decide the decision of the legislature. They get together and say, for the best of Minnesota, that, you know, let's figure this out together and come up with a solution to move forward. I believe they could move into dysfunctional category if they don't eventually figure it out, roll up your sleeves, get going, because ultimately, at the end of the day, what's good for all of us is that they get together and kind of figure that out. And I think that would be a missed opportunity to figure those things out, to work together, because this is an unusual circumstance. And they're also looked up upon, I guess, as a major elected body, the importance of legitimizing government and working through democracy. I think there's a healthiness to having disagreements and working it out. But again, so that's why also when you're in this elected, you know, kind of environment and many people have different opinions, people on the street have different opinions, the importance of having a deliberative process and procedures, that it's a fair process, heavily debated and argued along the way about what's important and why, and analysis being done. But at the end of the day, majority approval rules, our elected officials are put into office and honoring that process to then say, all right, let's move on to the next thing. That process I might not agree with, but it was a fair one. I understood it and kind of move forward. So those are a little bit of the intertwined pieces that I think I was reflecting a little bit about last night as I was checking up on the news, maybe kind of think about the work that we did and what's happening at the legislature. Right.
So I'm curious, and by the way, thank you for that perspective, because I actually have not heard that perspective yet.
I haven't either, and I appreciate that very much, actually, especially from someone who actually understands a little bit more deeply how these things work.
I'm a wonky bureaucrat, you know.
Yeah.
So circling back to your working session, just to give us a little, as you said earlier off the air, a little peek behind the curtain, what do you do when you are in this particular working session, since it is probably a more unique one too? You're all coming together for the first time, new group of folks, new attitudes, new personalities. What did you do to try and help communicate these ideas that you want moving forward?
Well, part of it, I think, does help is to bring in somebody who's got a long, you know, Craig worked for four cities. He's been a private consultant. He's been doing this for over 40 years.
Sure.
So I think it does help to kind of have an independent person come in to help with the dynamics because I'm part of that process. So as staff, so if we're kind of leading it, you're kind of like, okay, we're kind of one arm telling the other arm, hey, let's, how do we work together? So it's helpful to have that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit of just kind of a format where we had some breakout questions that were posed, and then we bring it back for group discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of it was kind of like a facilitator model where he had a slide deck that he walked through and then would pause and interject for with discussion. And what do you think about that? How would you handle that situation? What do you think about these issues? So you're kind of rolling up your sleeve. And again, we don't do this specific type. This is unusual to do it. But again, I think some cities just integrate this in every election cycle to have some type of a onboarding like this. But
I don't think that's a bad idea.
I think tying it with the strategic plan and the importance of that, because again, there's going to be disagreements about priorities at the end of the day. We have limited financial resources as a city, but we do have a lot of resources and we can accomplish a lot of things. But there's going to have to be a prioritization because you can't do everything. And then, you know, these are really important things that we provide. Everybody uses streets. We've got parks that people like to enjoy. You have public safety that's really important. Library provides all kinds of different benefits
and
enrichment for the city. It's not just books. It's workforce. It's access to free materials.
There's things water.
Right. So I think like these working sessions too is like we talked a little bit about that. That was actually an interesting part I found too is like talking about some of the what are the different buckets that the council should be doing or do kind of work on. So you've got, you know, goal setting. That's the strategic plan. How much time do we spend on that? That's sometimes done offsite to kind of just get you to think differently.
Mm-hmm.
You have exploration and analysis. So that's the category where these work sessions, where you maybe take a deeper dive into a project or some policy, because on our regular meetings, which is the legislative side, where they're making decisions on policies, ordinances, that's the twice a month regular meetings that we have. That's very deliberative. It's probably the most visible to the public when you guys are covering what happened at the council meeting and why. But there's a lot of stuff that happens outside of those meetings, which I think is the last bucket that we did hear from the counselors to the community relations side of what they do, talking to constituents, emailing. Your earlier question, Ryan, about how do we get a peek behind the curtain and understand what government is, and also realizing some people really want to be into that in great detail.
Mm-hmm.
Others just kind of want to know, I'm not really interested in that. My kids are young and they're going to be I want to know what activities there are. What about the pool or those kinds of things?
Yeah.
So you got to meet people where they are and get them. That's the tricky one where I think the council has had interest to say, how do we work on more on that community relations side?
Sure.
Hopefully this legislative side with this new council that they work effectively, honor the democratic system. But then they want to spend more time too about how do we engage the public to, you know, so that we feel feel more heard, that we are listening to them, but then recognizing that listening doesn't translate legislatively to mean doing exactly what everybody says all of the time. There are different perspectives on how much to take directly input versus being representative government. But ultimately, that bucket of community relations is an area that they had some good discussion on.
Yeah, I mean, I think government bodies across the nation, across the world, could always really benefit from better community relations, because it's not always easy to engage with people and to figure out, all right, how do I get you to care? You know, I think that's always the multi-million-dollar question.
That is a very good... Because I think a lot of people just don't engage at all.
Right.
A lot of other people will start to pay attention around election time.
Right.
But like, you know, in February after an election, when you guys are having important conversations about something like the water treatment plant, how do we get people to pay attention to that without, you know, kind of whacking them over the head and say, hey, you got to know what this is.
Well, and to not be so reactive too, you know, because I think that people only engage when all of a sudden it's like property taxes are growing up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and they're like, oh, and it's like, well, now hold on.
There's no context. Yeah, exactly.
Right. It's like if you just are paying attention all along and you're kind of following it as it evolves and goes, then you could have more input and you could have more of an idea. So it's tough because it's not always the most flashy and exciting stuff, you know, but it is the things that ultimately impact your bottom line as a citizen, you know, and also what your community is going to look like 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, et cetera. So, and unfortunately, I have none of those answers. But
yeah, we're trying to, I mean, it's a continual challenge that we got to do that because like you were saying, the some of these big projects, a lot of the decisions, they build off each other. And like many years ago, some of the major decision points have happened and we're later in the process. So Craig also walked through a kind of a decision-making model, or they call it kind of the Z model, but it was the kind of what we've been doing, highlighting about where are we at in a project, where you, and then kind of what is the project continuum to realize. You start with ideas, you work through analysis, sometimes you maybe go a couple steps forward, then you take a step back, but at the end of the Z, I guess, at the end of the road there, you got to make a decision, and you don't want to spend, let's say a street project, you don't want to get to the point where you've designed the entire street, you've had all these inputs, you're about ready to say, okay, we're going to put it out to bid, and you know, say, I changed my mind, I don't want to, I think we need to rethink from the beginning whether we should even be doing this street project or not. And I think that's where you got, and again, in a democratic process where you might be crossing over multiple political governance of the council, there might be changing philosophies, so you might not have the luxury of the same people that worked on the ideas and the analysis now coming in to make the decision. But as much as possible, try and kind of think about that to kind of make that decision, so you aren't wasting money and taxes and resources on all of that work to get to the end and then not move forward. So you know, those are challenges. But I think to your point too, on how do we get, because it's partly on, I think, people to pay attention, but I think it's also upon us to say, how do we get people more interested at the right times of the process to realize this, where the stakes are, and some of the stakes, meaning how important it is. Like on a water plant, it's a big decision, but we didn't particularly get a ton of interest and feedback when I would argue the decisions on really a lot of the plant purposes and commitment to do it was many years ago. But then, you know, as you said, as other things are happening that people have differing opinions on other projects, their interest peaks, and this is a big decision that's now looming. Media is ramping up their attention on it and that kind of a thing. But how do we upstream really place the importance on people being involved, understanding the process, and also realizing when they're getting involved in those early stages, they're not, we don't even sometimes know exactly what we're going to do. We might not know the costs at the end. You got to bring them along like the council does, because it's not just a like a one-time decision thing. It's like often over time. So it's important to have, I think we're very blessed to have KYMN here in Northfield. You are a partner in with us to help, you know, get that information out and figure out how we can do that. You're certainly not the only way that we should do it. But and I know both of you, I've heard both of you have conversations and interest about that, because hey that's one of the things that makes the hometown radio great is really being connected to the community with one another, and your local government's a part of your community, so that's a good piece to it.
Exactly, and that's why I think we love doing these interviews too, is because, you know, if nothing else, you can at least capture a little nugget of information, you know, and I think that that's really important, if nothing else, is to just have just a nice, quick, high-level overview of like, hey, I heard on the radio today for 5 minutes, Ben talked about this, this, and this. Okay, so at least you know what's going on a little bit, you know, if nothing else. If you're, you know, you're maybe not streaming, watching the live stream of city council meetings or whatnot, or reviewing the notes in depth, but you at least know what issues are being discussed. And I think that that's a starting point, if nothing else.
Right.
Those, so those council meetings are not boring, by the way. I'll take this to my grave. They're not boring.
I'm really glad that you feel passionately about that. And that's all I'm going to say. All
right. And I know there's, you know, you also have, you have professionals. You also, Logan, you know, is very engaged. I know, in addition to being his job, he actually had to shush him, I think, during the meeting a couple times because he was being interactive in the back. I'm just kidding, Logan. he wasn't active and engaged listener last night. I think we heard some audible.
It was one comment I made to a kind of snarky remark. In my defense.
Don't ever make yourself part of the story. That's the first rule of journalism. All right. We are way over time, but Ben, you had one more thing you wanted to talk about real quick.
Yeah, Monday. So City Hall will be closed. So if you're in for the department, if you're looking for your licensing and that kind of a thing, get in this week. We're open today till 4:30. But our Martin Luther King event, we do have a speaker this upcoming week. I know you guys have been promoting that, but it's moved to the high school auditorium at 7 p.m. On Monday night. And we have a Minneapolis City Council member who's also a community advocate and has some interesting background. I had a privilege to hear. She's the keynote speaker. Okay. We'll also be Human Rights Commission will be honoring the Human Rights Award to a local person. That will be really exciting to have unveiled. Yeah, but the speaker, I couldn't pull my computer screen up again, so I'm drawing a blank on her name. But the she spoke at Carleton last year, and I had an opportunity to listen to her. She spoke to some of the students, and I think she's a dynamic speaker and interesting topics, and she's had an interesting life in politics and advocacy work with her community. She's an African-American woman, look forward to that upcoming event on Monday.
Fantastic. Yeah, Martin Luther King Day, Monday, January 20th. City Administrator Ben Martig, we always thank you for your time. Thanks for being here, and we'll talk to you next week.